NLP stands for Neurolinguistic Programming. Psychologists, therapists and coaches use it to work with their clients, and even politicians are blamed to use NLP to manipulate their audience. What NLP exactly is and how it can help you to improve your communication, this is what you will learn in this new episode. Hello and welcome to this new episode of the podcast Spotlight Your True Self. I am Michaela. I'm happy that you are listening in again. And in this podcast, we are talking about what it needs to show your true, authentic self to other people. And in this podcast, we work with three pillars where I am at least convinced that they are necessary to show your own authentic self to the world. And these three pillars are, first, that you have self-confidence, that you have the self-awareness, you have a high self-esteem, to have the courage to show yourself, and also that you know yourself, who you are, what makes you special? What makes you a great person? What are your characteristics? What is your personality? And also, what are your targets? The second pillar is managing your emotions. So to understand what is going on inside your mind, what is happening in your psychology, if something triggers you, what is that feeling that is generated there? And how you can manage it, and at the same time, how you can bring back a little bit happiness, a little bit joy into yourself, into your life. Because all those, if you understand your own emotions, this is a basis to build up empathy, to connect with other people, and also to show something to the outside, to present yourself in a way, in an emotional way that will resonate with other people and that will help you to generate and to establish better connections. And the third pillar is communication, or communication techniques based on the help of NLP, neurolinguistic programming. And I have myself an education as an NLP practitioner. And for me, NLP has helped me a lot. And I would say in a very significant way to improve how I communicate, how I daily deal with the people around me, like my colleagues at work, my friends, my family, everyone, because it is such a great, or like, it's not a tool, it's such a great field or set of tools, or a toolbox if you want to call it like this, that contains a lot of different aspects that teaches a lot about communication and how to make communication efficient, how to make it empathetic, and how to build up that bridge, how to build up a connection with others, and also really listening to a person. And before we dive into what exactly you can do as a first step to improve your communication, or the basis actually for a better communication, I would just like to briefly explain to you what NLP is and where it comes from. So, as said already, it stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And it was established originally by two American guys, John Grinder and Richard Baker, who lived in California. And they came up with this NLP in the 1970s. After they had done maybe kind of a longer journey, because they have observed a lot of psychologists, and especially the best psychologists in California that they knew at that point in time, and they have observed them, and they wanted to figure out what makes them successful? So why are these psychologists so successful? What makes them working so successfully with their clients to really make a difference with their clients, to really achieve that the clients change, or that the client has an insight or is really able to figure out or to resolve its problem? So they have observed the best psychologists that they knew and collected kind of the patterns that they had seen. And this is what formed the basis for this concept of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So they called it also that NLP is the modeling of excellence. So as a collection of all these excellent techniques, of this collection of excellent communication techniques and methods that they had observed from those best psychologists. And the whole thing is called neuro-linguistic programming, not because it has something to do with coding in the classical sense, as you might imagine, like programming a computer, but let's say in a similar way, being able to program the human mind with words, so linguistic programming, and using words that not just are heard or are received by the other person, the person you're talking to, but are really able to affect the neuronal and the psychological system of that person. So this is what neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, stands for. And in this podcast, I would like to share with you the different techniques that I have learned myself in my education as an NLP practitioner, because as said, for me, the difference that I observed when I was consciously applying these techniques to the people around me, it was significant. And the very first thing, or the basis for being able to apply NLP and to be able to improve the communication, is actually listening. Active listening. Because when you are not listening, communication actually does not take place. Because when you are the listener, believe it or not, when you are the listener, you are the one who is guiding a conversation. It is not the person who is talking who is guiding a conversation. It's the listener. Because without the listener, the conversation would not take place. It would just be a monologue. It would be just like me now sitting here recording this podcast, talking into my podcast microphone. This is a monologue. This is not a conversation. Of course, I hope I will have listeners of that episode then at some time when it's published. But at the moment, it's only myself. It's not really a conversation. It's just my own notes, my own thoughts, my own script that I have here that I want to share with you. But it's not a conversation that evolves by two people talking with each other. So what is really guiding a conversation, what is leading a conversation, is the person who is listening. And active listening is an art. I think I can say I am observing many people nowadays who have difficulties in listening actively. Because active listening means that you are fully present, that you focus on the other person, that you're keeping an eye contact. Active listening does not mean that within the middle of a conversation you are grabbing your phone, or you're even grabbing the notebook and you're making some notes or something, or just checking your emails or the weather forecast or whatever. This is kind of a disturbing factor. And also, if you think, oh, like in an important conversation, I need to take notes, try it out to not do that. Because I think when you're listening to that podcast, I'm pretty sure you're an intelligent person. You don't have a dementia and you are able to remember what a person has said to you, especially if you are listening actively and carefully and consciously. You can take notes afterwards. But just in that moment, when you're listening to a person, do nothing else than that. And you can also imagine the opposite way. Let's say you are talking with a person. Maybe you have observed it already. You were talking to a person and then out of the sudden that other person is grabbing his or her phone or notebook or writing something down. If you are consciously observing yourself in that moment, you have that little feeling of your motivation of continuing to talk suddenly drops a bit because you have the feeling that connection is somehow interrupted because you see, okay, that person is not fully focused anymore on you. He or she is doing something else. So take that example also to you. Keep that in mind. So whenever you are talking to someone, just be fully present. And maybe you're asking yourself now, okay, but if I want to spotlight my true self, if I want to get more into the focus, why do I now have to be the listener and basically say nothing? But this is the first step. This is kind of the seed that you are setting. It's also a great self-reflection exercise if you are able to do that. If you are able yourself to take a step back to not having the feeling, oh, I need to talk, I need to say something because, hey, it's about me here, it's about my knowledge. No, this is just your ego which is speaking here. But it's a great way to observe yourself. Can you just lean back? Can you just providing that space for somebody else? And in providing that space, in being fully present, believe me, you are spotlighting your true self more than you think. Because other people will really recognize that you are able to listen, that you are able to focus and to see that other person. They will remember that. So you can set a great seed here for your future relationships with other people just by basically doing nothing than sitting there, being fully present in that moment and listening to that other person. And a good conversation can actually be that one person is talking to 80% of the time. And the other person is just talking to 20% of the time. So the person who is more listening would be, of course, still saying something, asking some questions or repeating the words. But maybe from the whole share of talking, it would be 20% of that conversation. So I don't say that you have to sit there and say nothing at all anymore, but just limiting that to 20% and giving this 80% room for the other person, this can still be a very, very good conversation. And that was also one of the observations from that whole process of creating that construct or that field of NLP, that they came up with this ratio saying a good conversation is when one person, like in the context of the therapy or with the psychologist and the client, so in that case the client talking to 80%, and then the rest of the conversation, the 20%, is when the psychologist or the active listener in that conversation says something. And NLP gives you two tools that you can apply to really test yourself how well and how active you are listening. And with those, you can then also fill these 20% of the conversation, so still contributing to keep the conversation going, to guiding it, and then also to make that other person in front of you seen and heard. And these two tools are called backtesting and paraphrasing. So they're a little bit similar, but I will explain to you here now what they mean. So backtesting would mean that you hear what the other person is telling to you and you would repeat what he or she has said just by the same words. So let's say a person is saying to you, "Oh, I had a very stressful Monday morning." And then he or she continues talking. And then you would repeat, "Okay, yeah, I hear you. You said you had a very stressful Monday morning." That would be backtesting. And it's maybe that sounds now to you like super simple and a little bit stupid, and it sounds weird, like, okay, he or she has just said that and then you're repeating it, like, why should you do it? But believe me, and maybe that has happened to you already yourself, that you were talking to someone and that person was just repeating what you said. And believe me, in that moment, you did not have the feeling, okay, or this is now stupid that he or she is repeating what I said. I am really sure that you had the feeling, okay, he or she has really heard what I said. She has understood it. She has, or he or she has listened. She got it. And the second tool, it's a bit similar, but now it gets, let's say, a little bit more not complicated or difficult, but just, let's say, a little bit more complex, or it requires maybe a little bit more thinking from your side. The second tool is called paraphrasing. It is a little bit the same like backtesting. Like, first you're listening and then you would repeat what the other person has said. But with paraphrasing, you would repeat it with your own words, with your own grammar. So going back to that example, that person is saying to you, "I had a very stressful Monday morning," that you would repeat that and saying, "Hey, yeah, I understood that start of the week, it was not so cool for you. It was not as smooth as you maybe have imagined it." This would be paraphrasing, so repeating the context, what another person has said to you with your own words. And that again creates the feeling, okay, you have really understood what that other person has said. And of course, and also it can avoid misunderstandings. Of course, like the example of a stressful Monday morning, I mean, this is something very easy to get. But when you're talking about issues or problems or facts in a business context, for example, at work, when the field is quite complicated, that backtesting and especially the paraphrasing, when you're using your own words, this really brings the clarity. Have you understood what that other person has said? And with that, you are avoiding misunderstandings, not just, okay, hearing what he or she has said, okay, I think I get it. I think I get it, just assuming, okay, I just heard it, I think I've understood, going out of the meeting room, continuing your work, and then maybe a couple of days or a couple of weeks later, it turns out, no, actually, it was meant in a completely different way. So this is why this paraphrasing especially is so powerful, and I would really encourage you to do that. Whenever you hear something, if you are not sure, just repeat it, just use your own words. If you're not doing that directly in that conversation, you can also still, of course, do it afterwards. And I think that also highlights once again that you have listened very actively. If you still, after that conversation, hear the words circulating in your mind and then thinking, okay, does it actually mean that? And then going back to that person saying, "Hey, I'm still thinking about what you have said. Have you meant this or that with it?" And my plan for the future episodes of this podcast, as we have these three pillars here, is that I will share from time to time concrete techniques from NLP, not just about listening, but then also in the future, more about what can you actually do when you say something, what you can actually do when you are talking yourself, when you are starting a conversation, when you are guiding through a meeting, when you are giving a workshop, when you are holding a presentation, all of that. But I think the very first basis of becoming a better communicator and also to become more confident when communicating to others is that you have first the ability to actively listen, to become present, to become focused, to focus on another person. And then as a second step, we will work on what can we do to make you more confident in what you are saying yourself. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope you had some inspiring insights on your journey to spotlight your true self. If you don't want to miss the next episode, then please subscribe to this podcast, and you would make me very happy if you would give this podcast a rating if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and if you would recommend this podcast to your friends, to your family, to your colleagues, or whoever where you think this person would find support in the topics that I am discussing here. If you would like to follow me on social media, you can find me on LinkedIn and on Instagram under @michaela.kettner.fi. And if you find it challenging to spell my German name, you can find, of course, all the contact details in the show notes of this podcast.